Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blue Shirt Underground. Awesome.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good evening and happy Friday, you bunch of bastards. Welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Up all night with Jim and Eddie. Eddie, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I've recovered from Wednesday's illness. It's the late night hour. The witching hour is upon us.
Who's that ugly woman that used to do that USA show up all night? What was her name? Rhonda? Rhonda something?
Yeah.
You remember
right.
that? They'd show a really bad movie and then she'd cut in and, you know, just hang her boobs out. I remember she had like Rhonda Shear. There you go. I knew when I started talking about a woman with big boobs. Here comes Coast and Frosty. Right in there with the answer.
I think Gilbert Gottfried took over for her or something before or after. I don't know.
Yep. Get confirmation of that too in the chat room. Boy, these fucking bastards, they know everything.
Well, they certainly multi-talented and multi-knowledgeable, if that's such a word. But you have to be. In these dog days of summer, it's a fucking sauna in New York. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I know you're dealing with your heat problems. So fucking hot.
How hot is it?
So hot. The only new news we have to report is that Mike Rupp has changed his number to 17. Well, that ain't it. And from what you told me, this kind of pretty much happened as soon as Dubinsky's, was out the door.
He was just sitting down in the bar car on the Amtrak headed for Columbus, and Rupp was pulling the stitches out on his jersey.
Yeah, really? Rupp couldn't wait. Everybody was taking, I saw you taking a shot at Columbus about what they passed for spaghetti.
The line from Goodfellas.
Yeah, egg noodles and ketchup, whatever.
Egg noodles and ketchup. And then somebody said in the chat room, man, let's clear this up since we're on the air. We're broadcasting to thousands of people around the world. I forget who it was. And he said, why does everybody hate Dubinsky? I don't think anybody hates Dubinsky.
Oh.
I don't hate him. Did we pick on him? Sure, but we pick on everybody. There's very few people on that team we don't really pick on. We don't pick on Callahan and we don't pick on Henrik. I don't know why. We just don't. It's got nothing to do with whether they're bad or good. We pick on all of them. We love them. I wish Brandon nothing but the best, but the $4 million he's making is going a lot further in Columbus than it would in New York City. $4 million!
Well,
as they say,
even I said at the end of last year when he came back in the playoffs, he has a good playoff, and that erases everything. Now he wound up getting hurt, I think, in the playoffs. Now, I know that's my voice in the background being disguised. And
how do you do that?
And maybe perhaps that was taken kind of as like I disliked the guy, which was not. I was trying to make comedy out of a very, very frustrating situation.
Oh, I mean, folks, I mean, the third line of the song is, we're all gonna cheer when he hits that net.
I mean, that was, we have to laugh. You know, as Ranger fans, you've got to laugh or you're going to cry. So make comedy out of, you know, our dilemma, our crises, so to speak. So I was kind of amazed to see Jeff Cooper say, you know, our friend, a bloke from the UK, saying, you know, who are we going to find as another scapegoat now that we don't have Doobie anymore? And I never thought, I'm not a proponent of scapegoats. I don't think that's what I thought of Dubinsky. We just rode him hard, let's face it. But we did it in a comical way, just like we do with Boyle. And
oh, he's terrible.
Oh, I got it. We're going to be hearing from Brian Boyle via another Blog Talk Radio.
Is he coming on the show?
I don't know. We're going to try to get him, but some of the guy on Blog Talk nabbed him. But I, of course, subversively covertly lifted the audio from him.
Excellent. Why don't we jump since they're talking about it a little bit in the chat room. We'll mention that what you and I were talking about before we came on the air real quick about Mark Messier getting this $6 million settlement from
does he really need more money?
Well, you know, I don't know.
Explain it to me again, because
he had a clause in
my
his
gosh,
contract.
No.
Thank you, Paulie. He had a clause in the original contract that he signed with Vancouver that would compensate him if the value of the Canuck franchise increased over the life of the contract, which expired in 2002. It was almost like he had shares. He had a profit sharing, I guess you could almost call it, built into his contract. And he ended up only playing. You know, I had completely forgotten that the Canucks bought him out. I don't know. I had completely forgotten that, and that was how he wound up coming back to the Rangers after they bought him out. But he played three seasons with the Canucks. They exercised the option to buy him out. They bought him out. He came back to the Rangers. You know, was a shell of himself. I'll tell you what. I don't know if there is a more hated player in Vancouver than Mark Messier. As much as Ranger fans love him, that's how much Canuck fans hate him. I mean, they hate him the way we hate Wade Redden, the way I hate Chris Drury. I mean, they just absolutely hate Mark Messier.
And now even more with this clause that I don't know. How do they measure if the team is worth more or generated? How did that go?
It's just like every year when they put out the list. Forbes usually does it. They put out a list of the most valuable sports franchises. It's based on the team itself, the attendance, the building, their standings, I guess the amount of payroll, you know, they're at, you know, it's based on your assets. It's just like evaluating any company, you know, as opposed, you know, Coke versus, you know, Eddie Geich Soda Company, you know, Ronkonkoma, New York, you know, like CNC.
It's all right. That's in every contract. That's what they call a sanity clause. You can't fool me. There ain't no sanity clause.
Well, you win the white carnation.
Thank you, Paulie.
Groucho Marx. and Chico now, or what is Paulie D?
By the way, I don't know how many people out there are Facebook friends with Paulie. I know you are. And I am, and I will be until I fall off the chair. But Paulie has been going ballistic all week long politically, and it's just funny. You know, to hear a guy that, so if your lips are wet, ready to go, hold on. And now he's going off on liberals. So I'd like to lock him and Mario Morgado in a room together. Like Thunderdome, and see who comes out.
I wouldn't go up against Mario. He's very passionate. Very passionate, man.
Staunch.
Everybody's like, what? Yep. Everybody's like, what? Yep.
That's when you read one of Paulie's political rants on Facebook.
Everybody's like, what? Yep.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Thank you, Paulie.
Oh, boy. This show's off to a rock and roll start tonight.
Hey, we're laughing, aren't we?
Yeah, really. You'd think we would have been drinking. I don't know if you guys say last week on last week's show, I think we had another doozy of a call by our friend Chandler, and I think. The only way I could describe this call, which I really can't describe it, I think just pretty much summed up by really, I guess, which was the title of his expose or his rant about the Rick Nash deal. So I had to break it down to 2 seconds. I edited his 3-minute phone call down to 2 seconds, and this is how it went. Now, if you listened last week, you heard the whole thing, but this is what the summation of all
Fred
it is.
Fred already nailed it in the chat room.
Glenn Sane is a fucking pimp. Glenn Sane is a fucking pimp.
So there you go. There you go. Glenn Sane is a fucking pimp for the Rick Nash deal.
Yeah, well.
And now, who got it right there? Who got it right? Oh, yeah.
Brett Anderson.
Got it. He got it right.
Brett the Hitman Anderson.
Right up. I love it. Brett was paying attention last week's broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to know. Now, as a matter of fact, since we're giving Paulie more press, more people listening to us talk about Paulie than listening to Paulie talk about Paulie. But Paulie put something on your Facebook about how you got to be turning into a Sather fan. And I saw that I understand that, you know, everybody wants to give him credit and he's done this, sticking with the kids, doing this, doing that, doing this. Are we just forgetting the first 6 years of his tenure where it was so bad? Are we just forgetting about all of that? I mean, I don't know. I'm not ready to completely forgive this man. They still only have, what, 4 playoff round wins in 12 years that he's been the GM?
I cannot give him the accolade yet until it materializes into something tangible over a consistent amount of years. one shit. He's actually one shit.
Look what Frosty
said. Shit.
Hasn't he only been here 2 years?
Frosty's on fire. You get him out of the Hell's Kitchen zone around 9 o'clock, 8:30, 11 o'clock. He starts warming up. He's on fire.
Well, this is when he used to watch the Honeymooners, so he's so fired up.
I think it's a lot of people that he's put in place, so if that's... Give him the accolades for that. I'm all for that. I think it's the Commissioner Jeff Gorton's, the assistant GM there, and Gordy Clark. You know, I mean, I'm a little bit worried, Jim, and I kind of hinted this on the thing on the Facebook page about the Rangers. So this kind of speaks to the whole Glenn Sather thing. You know, we're going to hold on to the youth. We're going to hold on to the youth. And then he wound up trading a 21, a 24, and a 26-year-old.
Oh, we're going to have a discussion again?
No, but I'm not going to go into the age thing. You know, because I understand we've got a 28-year-old guy in his prime, okay? My problem now with the Rangers is the fear is John Tortorella is going to screw this up. Because last year I had to sit, and a lot of people here are season ticket holders who went to games, and we all watched all the games. We watched the Rangers play a type of game that really should have given us all bleeding ulcers. We all should have had transfusions because they played such a defensive game that the majority of the game was in their own end. And that's got to change. And now I'm not so convinced that if Rick Nash is in the lineup, that kind of mentality, that defense first, that let Henrik play, out of his head, let everybody block 58 shots a game. That kind of mentality, that kind of philosophy has got to change. And you can add all the skilled players in the world, but if that mentality doesn't change, and if, General Ginzo there, Tortorella, decides that he's going to be all hot-headed and nothing's going to change and we're going to go about our business, that's one of his favorite quotes. This mentality has to change, or all you can have all the offense in the world, but if the Rangers are in their own end for the half, three quarters of the game again, I don't think we can take it. I don't think the Rangers can go far if they have to do that, when they play one-goal games like that. We saw it in the playoffs. They couldn't put anybody away. I think the players felt that too. And I'm worried about that. I know it's it's just the beginning of August here, but still, I'm very concerned about that. Is when is this safe as death, which he was preaching, and then there was the just death period. Now we've been resurrected, so to speak. I want to see more of that, safe as death policy. Now that we got some of these, this is firepower. What do you think about that?
I think you're worried too much. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be fine. I think he can. You're worried. It's August. Everything's going to be fine.
I think you're worried. Everything's going to be fine until I see the same old nonsense again.
I'm telling you, he's going to let Nash assuming that Nash plays with Richards and I guess Gabrick, when Gabrick's healthy, whenever the season starts, he's going to let them play. They're going to be fine. It's not going to be. You're worried too much. You're worried he's going to put handcuffs on Nash, and Nash is going to be a 19-goal scorer because he's going to have to block 100 shots.
Well, here we go, Mr. French. Even with Nash, the Rangers can't really run and gun.
Yeah, but
when Gabrick's healthy, with Kreider and Hagelin and all these other guys, why can't they run and gun?
But Nash isn't a run and gun type guy. He's a drive to the net type guy. He's not like Gabrick. He's a different player than Gabrick. You watch Nash. He drives to the net. He uses his size and his hands to get in close and get those dirty goals. Those dirty goals that we were on our hands and knees begging this team to score last year. Those are the goals that Rick Nash is going to get.
Yeah, but I want to see more cycling down low in the other end, like Aaron Face is talking about. I don't know. Did Aaron Face say that? I don't know. I missed it. A Ranger fan, 80, said that. I want to see more cycling down low. I want to see us in their zone.
And you will.
Okay.
You will.
All right. I don't know. Tortorella doesn't like to change. I'm telling you, this guy is so stubborn and so fixed, set in his ways. I just can't.
I'm
just telling you. Maybe I'm getting worried.
I think you are. He had to come up with a system that fit what he had in the room last year. And when he comes up with that system and says, look, this is how we've got to play to win games, and you either stick with it or You could have gone to the fourth line or wherever it is, you know, whatever, the depending on the player, I guess, is going to be the punishment. But anyway, he had to, that was what he had to work with last year. I think now that he's got, you know, he's got Nash, he's going to, I think things will be a little different. Nash is a different kind of player. I'm excited. I can't wait. Bring it on. I can't wait until Thanksgiving when hockey
played like that. I mean, nobody played like that.
You're worried too.
See, the Devils didn't play like that. The Kings didn't play like that. We sat here and we bitched and moaned at Stu Bickles getting 2 minutes a game. Nobody plays like that. It's annoying. You know how I don't know if I got enough too much free time on my hands, but I just don't want to see the same. I don't want us to overlook some of the things that were wrong last year.
I understand what you're saying, but I can't dwell on it. I mean, they were a couple of bounces from going to the Stanley Cup. I mean, yeah, they were gassed, and I think part of the problem, we said it the week after the playoffs were over, you know, they've got to learn. Hopefully, part of their learning process will be to learn that when hopefully they get into the playoffs next year, and when they're playing a low-seeded team like Ottawa or Washington, when you got them down 3-1, put them the fuck away instead of dicking around with them and taking them to 7 games. Because once again, you know, that stat that everybody was throwing in their face, no team has ever gone to the Stanley Cup with going 7 games in every series, and they proved that out. Well, next year, you got to finish. Take that Tom Coughlin line for the Giants. Finish! Finish! Finish!
Giants.
I'm just saying, that's the Giants.
But
that's
they win.
You think because you beat Aaron, I know, buddy from Holbrook. You think because you beat Aaron Rodgers,
what do you want lately?
What do you think? You really think in your head?
All right. Why I'm on the worry ward thing? Here's another thing.
All right.
What?
Well, I had a clip for you if you wanted, but...
Play the clip.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You got to get some positive yards here just so you can punt the ball from a normal distance.
Manning on 3rd and 10. He fires, and the catch is made by Cruz, who breaks free. One man to beat. Victor Cruz down the sideline. Cruz is going to take it all the way, tying an NFL record, 99 yards from Manning to Cruz.
I can't remember what team that was against.
What? Would Victor Cruz make a 5-yard catch and then run 80 yards afterwards?
Wouldn't that make you good?
Jim Leonard back there, that guy they cut? Get the hell out of here with that shit. Victor Cruz. There'll be another guy who'll shoot himself in the leg.
The Giants are going back to the Super Bowl.
All right. Don't even get me started. Now, let me go back to my other weakness. I feel. Rangers are going to have a tough time now. I don't care what you say about Artie. Artie may have never going to live up probably to his offensive potential, but the guy is a good two-way forward. You got a guy who came to the game and worked every night he played. You have Dubinsky. For all his faults, the guy was a hustler. He couldn't hit the side broadside of a barn last year. But he's a gamer when he shows up. But predominantly is a guy that is a worker. He's a worker bee. Brandon Prust, the same thing. Again, hands of stone, but he came every game. And Ruslan Fedotenko, another guy, comes, plays every night, gives you 110%, if that's such a percentage. It really isn't. But anyway, so there's 4 guys out of the regular lineup that I could count on for their effort. Granted, their production was subpar, pretty much all of them. But I knew that they would give you that effort. That's four guys you're taking out of the lineup. Now, yes, you add Rick Nash, who's certainly going to be productive, if he's allowed to be productive instead of a shot-blocking machine he may be turned to do. I don't know yet. Now, you're replacing him with a bunch of guys that I know nothing about. I am not going to sit here on this show and tell you that Tyler, Nelson Pyatt, whatever he is, I don't know that much about him. Aaron Asham, I can tell you, he's an ugly fuck. I don't like him. I probably may like him in a Ranger uniform because he's wearing the uniform and he'll be instigating. I don't know. The fact that he's played with every team in the division, I'm not sure he's really that capable. I'm a little worried about taking four guys out of that lineup. Now, listen, they could do better. They're going to have to do better. I'm just saying we're in a little bit uncharted territory with some of the effort guys that we've kind of lost. And that, to me, is a little worrisome. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Again, could be another one of these Eddie has too much time in his hands in the off-season worry things. But, I mean, certainly that's got to be worry some Ranger fans.
I'm not worried. Spare parts. Brandon Prust, nice player. Come on. Brandon Prust.
So, I mean, you're going to get Jeff Halpern, who was a scratch in the two or three games in the Rangers series. He's all of a sudden, you're ready to accept him as your fourth line center. He's going to be showing up. He's going to be winning faceoffs. He's going to be doing everything.
Yes. They're worried. It doesn't matter. But I'm not worried about replacing Brandon Prust. I liked him as much as anybody. I coined the term Presbyterian, the Presbyterian Church. But come on, Brandon Prust. Again, I'll say it again. This isn't Mark Messier leaving for Vancouver.
I'm just saying we could count on those guys for effort, and that was the Rangers' bread and butter last year.
No, effort's so overrated.
Oh, God, nice.
Nobody ever won anything with effort. Come on. Just kidding. They'll be fine. You're worried
about
the fourth line.
I'm worried about the overall team effort. That's all I'm worried about.
We have the best coach in hockey. He will get it done.
No, we don't. Please. He thinks he's the best coach in hockey.
He's the Gomez Adams Award winner.
I mean, John Tortorella is a great coach, but you know as well as I know, he can be frustrating to both fans, to us fans.
Oh,
really, they start losing, he becomes a dick.
He's a stubborn jackass.
He really is. Now,
should we play
Hey, let's go Rangers. What?
We're going to play the Tort song? People were asking for that before.
We have a Tortorella song?
This one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll answer these questions here first.
What?
Nope. Next question.
Just ask the question. Please.
I'm not talking about the refs.
No.
Next question.
I'm
not talking about the calls.
No.
No. I'm not talking about the game.
What?
It becomes a mental game.
It's just one game.
Next question.
Do you have a chance?
Yeah.
Next question.
We need to attack.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yes, I do.
What?
Next question.
No.
I know.
Both power play stunk. And both teams stunk. These type of situations happen for a reason, and it's good stuff. It's real good stuff. It's really good things. There was a lot of bad things, but there's some good things.
It just keeps on building.
What?
Yes.
No. And I'm not trying to be a smart
chance,
but stuff like that,
it's a bunch of crap.
I disagree how our team's been portrayed here, but
stop coaching, Pat. Next question.
I'm talking about the refs.
Yeah.
Next question.
I'm talking about the game.
Next question.
Just ask the question.
Wait. We'll play the same way.
Keep banging away.
Next question.
No update.
Good. Thank you.
No update. Wow. Jim?
I'm here. Sorry.
Oh, scared me then. So earlier in the that still is a very funny.
There's no not loving that song. Next question. Not talk about the refs. That's good stuff. That's real good stuff. That's my favorite part. That guy did a great job with that.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll. I wonder if he knows how much we really appreciate what he did there.
I don't know. They're talking about the Mets in the chat room. Are the Mets wearing 80s uniforms with the racing stripes? They're wearing the 86 jerseys? Is that what they're doing?
Who cares? The Mets win two games since the All-Star break?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Plus, we're talking hockey here.
God, who the hell cares?
It's Lenny Dykstra night.
Lenny Dykstra night, Jesus. Are you getting a collection up for him? All right. Now, all right.
You know, we didn't even mention Anton Stralman re-signed. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, what did he sign for? 1.7 per? People are like, I think that's a little tad high. I really would prefer 1.5. What are you personally dealing out the money? Shut up. Oh, that's.
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
God. Talk about me worrying about things. I think Stralman at 1.7 is fine, and if Strolzy is back. And you got Sauer makes his way back. That's a good 5 and 6 guy.
Yeah, I
God,
agree.
Eric, that's decent.
And how many times did we say it last year? Strowman's the only guy that'll shoot from the point.
He had good playoffs, too. He had 3 goals in the playoffs.
I like
Strowman. Defensive, that's not bad.
I'm
you know, he's not. They could do better, but I mean, what do you 1.7? Well, I thought 1.3.
He's not going to make anybody forget about Brian Leetch, but is he better than Matt Gilroy?
Yeah. Yes, he's better than Matt Gilroy. If
exactly.
That's the barometer. I think Matt Gilroy's going on a 6th team in like 3 years.
Yeah.
Something like that.
The never-ending search to grow into his body.
Another goofball. So I was telling Jim before the show started, I often go around Block Talk and listen to a lot of the shows and just to see, you know, what kind of craziness is going on. And they're all awful. I mean, really, there isn't a redeeming show out there. And but I did find a sports show, believe it or not, that I wouldn't listen to because it's just like it was predominantly just stupid. I mean, no offense to Danny Picard and his show, The Danny Picard Show. I'm just saying, it was too professional sounding for Blog Talk, and it just sounded too jumbled and whatever. But he had Brian Boyle on, so being the Ranger fan that I am, he must know Brian Boyle. He has like a Boston accent. This dude.
Oh, I just Googled this guy to find out who he was. He's a writer. He's a writer for Comcast Sportsnet New England. That's how he got Brian Boyle.
Well, no, I didn't know that. See, well, yeah. He got him.
That's how he got him. Yeah, this guy has he's had Dan Shaughnessy on from the Boston Globe. He's had Josh Beckett on. He does a Ustream show, too, it looks like, which is where we might move to one day if they can't ever upgrade the sound quality on this fucking network.
Well, this show was like, yeah, he had like some guests on, like, you know, guests we could never get.
Right.
But like the show was like, he has stupid.
Fuck, we can't get Cutsy.
We get Cutsy?
Yeah, we can.
But, so he has this guy, you know, he's got these guests and everything, but, you know, he's asking Brian Boyle, like, I was like, you know, if we had Brian Boyle, we would ask him the real question. You know, like, but anyway, This is about, I guess,
you'd ask
a little
like Howard Stern questions. Who's got the smallest penis in the locker room? Stupid shit.
Like, you know, are you really shooting on goal, or are you making passes to the opposition goalie? Like, I would ask him that. You know, or can you or will you ever win a face-off? You know, stuff like that, stupid, goofy stuff like that. Anyway, so Danny Picard talked to Brian Boyle about the Nash deal and some other stuff. So, why me and Jim step out, and Jim shows me the pictures from the Garbanzo Festival. Jim probably didn't read the Facebook post. But anyway.
No, I read it. You didn't see what I responded? I said, couldn't you have put me someplace good, like the Arizona Association of Exotic Dancers was honoring me for years of support?
I've been aching to use the word garbanzo.
Oh, okay.
So I had to start there. So here's our beloved Brian Boyle talking on the Danny Picard show.
It's a world-class player we're getting in Rick Nash. He's, his career already speaks for itself. He's been around, I think he's played 9 years already, and he's only 28 years old. He's been a game breaker since he first got in the league, and he can win you games with his offense. And they were satisfied with making the Eastern Conference Finals. We want to win the Cup.
I mean, Doobie is a good friend of mine. He wanted to stay, and he wanted to be in New York. Now his life's changed, and I know him, and he's going to embrace the opportunity to go to Columbus and play there and try and build a winner there. We want to score more goals, that's for sure. I think we defend well. We have the best goaltending in the world right now, and that's a fact. So thank you, winning the Vezina. But, yeah, we want to score more goals. We want to create more offense, but, the things that went wrong in the playoffs, we can learn from that. A lot of those guys, me included, obviously, I haven't been that far in the playoffs. And you can't just look at the Jersey series. You got to look at the first series and the second, Ottawa and Washington, and say, some of those games, we wanted to maybe get that two-game lead in the series or have that instinct to come out and try and really step on their throats when we got a 2-1 series lead or a 3-2, just end it there. It was a long playoff for us because we played so many games. It was 2 7-game series to start, and I think we were a little tired. We were a little we were nicked up a bit, obviously, but everybody was. And I'm not trying to make excuses at all, but we can learn from that. If we want, we got to be able to put teams away, really get control of series early And that was just kind of the situation that unfolded this year. I mean, every year is probably going to be different.
Break the
there
beans.
You go.
Break the beans. What?
So there you have it, Brian Boyle. Basically echoing that maybe they have to learn to put the foot on the throat. So, I don't know. So, I guess they were a little bit tired from all that nonsense. I don't know.
All that nonsense.
What did you get out of that hard-hitting Brian Boyle interview?
Break some beans! Break some beans! What?
Why, I don't know. He didn't say it's nothing... Nothing earth-shattering there, We didn't put Ottawa and Washington away. We were a little bit tired. Rick Nash is a world-class player. Dubinsky's going to miss New York.
Okay.
You seem to be more of a thinker than I am.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. Yeah, well, that's fair.
So, you want to talk to the people? We got people
out there. Yeah, let's talk to the peoples.
All right. First up, 862. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, up all night with Rhonda Shear, Jim, and Eddie.
Hey, guys. I'm a first-time listener. How are you guys doing?
A first-time listener?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed. Who is this?
My name's Sam.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So I want to bring up, actually, you guys are talking about players working hard, And you guys remember a few years ago Blair Betts?
I do.
Yes.
So I've been sending this actually for a year to my friends. Like, I actually liked him a lot because I feel like he was one of the first players to really play the Ranger style, the way we play now with blocking shots. And I think if we get him back, try him out, he's probably like a really cheap contract, maybe like $600,000 for 1 year. Win some faceoffs for us because he's a good faceoff guy. Kill some penalties, maybe replace Prust in that aspect. So what do you guys think about that?
I kind of got the feeling that for whatever reason, John Tortorella didn't like Blair Betts. Now, if you look at Blair Betts' game on the surface, you would think he's a John Tortorella kind of player. But yet, they certainly made no effort to re-sign him that offseason after Tortorella took over as coach. So
then he wound up getting a tryout with the Flyers, and the Flyers really liked him, and they kept him for a couple years.
Yeah.
Yeah, now he's a free agent.
Yeah, I think Tortorella's pretty much cleaned house of all the Rennie guys, especially now with Davinsky and Anisimov going. I think he wants somebody who at least it can be somewhat physical. I think that ship has sailed with Blair Betts. I like, you know, Blair Betts. I remember we used to play with Colton Orr and
Holwick. It's
on the
right.
Holwick.
Yeah, that was the line I remember. Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to happen. And I'm not always in favor, Sam, of, you know, once we have these guys, let them go on and do what they have to do. Mm-hmm. But they could get them on the cheap, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm going to miss Fedotenko, I think. I'm kind of mad he went to the Flyers.
Well, he went back to the original team he started with. If you heard me before, I'm a little worried about the work ethic. We had a lot of guys who really came to play every night. I'm not sure about these new guys. I have to really just sit back and watch. So,
well, Sam, let me ask you a question. How old are you? You sound like a fairly young guy. 20s, early 20s?
I'm 18.
18, okay. As far as Fedotenko goes, I like Fedotenko. I think he's an absolute warrior. I honestly don't know if I've seen a player who got high sticked in the, who took more sticks to the face in a season than Ruslan Fedotenko. Eddie, have you ever seen a guy that gets high sticked? I mean, how many times have we seen him go down on the ice taking a stick to the face? He's a tough guy, no doubt about it.
His face looked like a road map last year. I mean, he really took a beating. I mean, and, you know, again, he's a guy who, in the playoffs, he comes to play, and it's just
exactly.
He's a little bit old. He's a little bit older now, and, you know, they're moving on. So, you know, yeah, I hate to see him, and I hate to see him go against the Flyers, because now we got to face him. And we certainly don't want to.
Yeah, but
Flyers,
we won't see him in the playoffs, so whatever. I almost didn't go there.
I'm glad you. The Flyers won't be making the playoffs.
Sam, how did you find out, since you said you're listening for the first time, how did you find out about the show?
My friend Brett Anderson, he's been listening to the show for a while, I guess, so he told me to check it out. So now I'm calling.
Oh, excellent. Great. Well, we appreciate you being here. We hope you stick around.
I definitely will. Love the Rangers. I'm going to keep listening to you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, and if you have an iPod, you can get all our old shows on iTunes. You can download
them. Yeah, I listened to your most recent one about the Nats trade. That was really good.
Oh, okay. Cool.
All right.
All right, Sam. Well, thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
Okay. Take care. All right. First-time listener, Sam. Great job.
Yeah, I don't see –
you know, he makes a good point. Betts, I like Betts. You know, another one of these fourth-line, you know, tough guy, you know, hard-nosed type guys. But I just got the feeling that Tortorella didn't like him for whatever reason. Maybe because he was a ready guy, like you said. But
I know what you're saying. Diligent. He's very, I mean, he's really one-dimensional. Really.
Yeah. One-dimensional. He's a fourth-line center, you know, defensive guy.
And his buddy from Holbrook would say, Yeah, you really want a guy named Blair on your team?
Dubinsky.
Yeah.
Dubinsky.
So,
the baby.
The bitch. Well, you know, that was another thing I thought about the Dubinsky trade. The guy gets married recently. He has a kid, the baby, and then he gets the trade to Columbus. Deported. Deported.
Oh, man. Dubinsky. From a comedic standpoint, I said this in the Facebook group the other day. From a comedy standpoint, I'm going to sorely miss Brandon Dubinsky.
Dubinsky.
Well, don't worry. They'll be... Yes. And Sam alluded to even last week's show. We got another Frankie Jim.
Oh.
Hello, darling. I'm Zsa.
Gabor.
He was on hold. I was going to put him on, and he hung up.
He must have knew that I was coming.
Maybe. Oh, there he is. He's back. Frankie, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and
my
I want to talk about the Rangers' power play.
What's that?
I want to talk about the Rangers' power play.
Okay.
This season, I expect Nash and normally Gaborik to play with Richards, and assuming wasn't hurt. And the way Tortorella uses the power play, the first unit usually has a minute and about 20 seconds on the power play. And then the second unit comes on board, and that would theoretically be Stepan, Callahan, and Kreider. But that would be only for like 20 or 30 seconds. But I kind of think this year, because Gaborik is hurt, Callahan's going to be with Nash and Richards. But bottom line is, if the first power play unit takes up a minute and 20 seconds like they normally do, somebody's going to take a hit, big hit, points-wise, on their overall scoring totals for the year, because they're not going to get first-line power play minutes. What do you think?
I would agree with that somewhat, but I think I think they'll have at least we know we won't be throwing John Mitchell out there anymore on the power play.
Or Dubinsky.
Glad for that.
Well, Dubinsky knew his time on the power play was going to be reduced when Richards came on board, and he became a different player. So did Anthimov. They became more of a checking player, and their hits and their plus-minus totals went way up compared to the prior year. So they took a hit for the team and accepted a different role with the team. But I'm just saying, next year, I assume Callahan's going to be on the first power play unit because Gaborik is hurt. And then after like 30 or 40 games, when Gaborik comes back, Callahan's going to be on a second power play. You know, that's going to affect his points, don't you think?
Well, yeah. You know, it's true. I think it will affect his points, Frankie. I wanted to get your take, Frankie, on Stepan. Do you think next year is a real test of where this guy is going to be going in the future, whether he's going to be like a semi-star, or he's going to be maybe a guy that's just going to underachieve for the rest of his career?
Listen, he is not an underachiever. You look at his numbers, his hits were up, his plus-minus was up, his goal scoring was down, but his assists were up. You know, he, except for finishing, which was the goal scoring, he had a decent year. And remember, he's only, 21 years old, 22 years old? Come on. You know, like, you don't write these guys off like Delzato at 21 years old.
Right. But my problem with Stepan is the playoff performances haven't been good 2 years.
Delzato had a really good couple of series in the playoffs, and then went backwards when they started switching him back and forth for right and left point. You know, these guys are young. McDonough, Kreider was like a minus four in the playoffs. He struggled later on in the playoffs. These are young kids. They are not finished players at 21, 22 years old. You can't compare them with Richards, guys that have been around for 10 years in the NHL. So Stefan is going to never be a 30-goal scorer, but he is going to be probably a 25-goal scorer and a 60, 70-point, probably, at least a 60-point guy every year, and he's an excellent back checker. I mean, he is a solid, solid player. Don't try to make him into something he's not. He's not a finisher, a 40-goal scorer. But then again, Richards came here and was supposed to be such a great player, and actually his goal scoring went down playing with the Rangers. So, you know, and Richards is 31 years old. So don't hold these guys like Stefan and Kreider and Delzato, expecting them to be all-stars at 21, 22 years old. It's just not going to happen.
My point with Stepan, not really Delzato much, but Stepan, here's a guy that was touted as being a character guy, a guy who's won the World Juniors. I'm posing this to you. I'm not saying he's going to be a bust. I'm just saying, do you think this year, I think this year is a critical year for him, especially in the playoffs, to show that he is that leader that's going to be emerge, and his play's got to prove it. I think I'm not saying give up on a guy.
He's 21, 22. He will improve for the next couple of years, and when his improvement is evident in the next couple of years, you know who's going to be on the downside in the next couple of years? Richards. So as Richards regresses because he's getting older, Stepan will increase his skill set. You know, it's the way it is. You need some older veterans, you know, like Gaborik and Richards. You need some middle-aged veterans like Callahan and Nash. And then you need some young veterans like Kreider and Stepan. It's like each generation. We need those kinds of players. And don't judge the youngest generation with the oldest generation. Just give them some time to work their way through the league, to become leaders, to become accomplished, well-rounded players. And in a couple of years, when they are all those things, then the Nashes and the Callahans will be in their 30s. These other guys will be 25, 26. And then Richards and Gaborik will be gone in 2 years, and Richards will be like 33 or 34. So just allow the progression, and I think, I hate to say this, but if Sather's plan is to have like three generations of players on the team, you know, the young ones that are developing, the middle-aged guys like the Callahans and the Nashes, and then the older generations like the Richards and the Gaborik, I can understand that. That sort of makes sense with me, and I never agree with Sather. But I think that works for me.
All right. Just wanted to get your opinion on it.
Just an opinion.
Yeah. So it seems to me you're a little bit down on Richards. I'm getting that feeling that you may be down on Richards.
No, I expected that all the hype I got all over the place was that Richards was supposed to make our power play great. He made the players around him better. And guess what? I think our system creates a power play that does not function well. And I kind of knew that Richards was not going to be as productive as everybody thought he was, you know, and his goal scoring went down. I think his points total went down too. But I think it might just be Tortorella's system that dictates, you know, productivity points wise.
Would you agree with me that Brad Richards scored an awfully good amount of important goals for the Rangers this year?
I'm outside because it's hard to get a signal in Fort Myers, at least as part of Fort Myers, but I'm sure the number of game-winning goals, game-tying goals on the stat sheet for Brad Richards was probably very good. I imagine that worked just as well for Callahan. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't think they scored meaningless goals, you know, in 5-1 games.
Well, I wanted to say that perhaps one of the greatest Ranger victories of all time was orchestrated by Brad Richards in Madison Square Garden. when he scored with, what was it, 3.5, 4.5 seconds left in the game, and then the Rangers went in, into overtime and won it. It was on a Mark Stahl goal.
Fred Richards did not score important goals or did not play a major role on the team. I agree with all of that. I'm just saying that people that expected him to make the power play better and for him to come in here and score a bazillion points, that was not going to happen. It's not our system, Tortorella system, to have high-scoring games. You know, everybody that comes onto this team has got to be able to back-check. And if they don't back-check, guys like Gaborik, when they don't back-check, they sit out an entire period. You know, they wonder what happened to Gaborik. Well, he sat out the third period. Why? Because he's not doing what Tortorella wants. You know, if Tortorella wants a 90-pound guy to play like a 200-pound guy, it ain't going to happen. So Gaborik gets his goal, gets his assist, and doesn't play the body or doesn't block a shot. And where does he go? To the bench. You know, he's still got his goal, he's still got his point, but Tortorella wants to prove a point. Everybody has got to buy into his system. And last year when Dubinsky and Anisimov were not playing on a power play, they had to buy into the system that Tortorella put down. If you're not scoring, you got to back check, hit, block shots, and play defensively responsible. And it was a very team-oriented game last year. Anisimov and Dubinsky bought into it. And Richards gave up some of his scoring skills to adjust to Tortorella's way of play. And guess what? We didn't win a lot of games 7-1 or anything like Pittsburgh did, but we won a lot of games last year, and we deserved to win a lot of games because we bought into Tortorella's system, which wants the 3-2, 2-1 games.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I agree with you, Frankie. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see what they do. But listen, we got to let you go. We got a guest coming on in a couple of minutes, so we'll talk to you next week. All right, sir?
Good night, gentlemen.
All right, take care, Frankie. All right,
bye bye now.
Bye. Yeah, we don't have a guest.
Hello, darlings. I'm Zsa.
Gaborik.
And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury. No.
Wikipedia.
Hey, stop.
All right. You know what I realized? I go back and listen to the show every week after we do it. I download it on my iPod. We never even give out the phone number anymore. 646-478-4692. Is the number if you want to call in and get on the air. Taking your calls right up until whenever we're finished. And basically, we are finished when Eddie says, I'm done.
Hegelin.
Exactly. Thank you, Frankie.
Thank you, Paul. I'm sorry you like to thank you, Paulie.
Thank you, Paulie. So,
I still think Frankie has a little Brad Richards. He didn't do the power play. Listen, that power play is Mike Sullivan's baby, and so far that baby's been an abortion. I hate to be politically incorrect, but that the Rangers' power play has nothing to do a lot of times with their personnel. It's just the way it's set up, the whole philosophy, everything. And, you know, as much as he wants to laud Michael Delzato, and listen, Michael Delzato had, I thought, a very good season last year. He struggled a little bit in the playoffs. They don't really have a quarterback back there on the power play. And like you were mentioning, Stroman at least shoots.
Right.
So I think their problem is philosophy and technique. It's not the personnel out there. So I don't know. And this year with Kreider, it's going to be a different, it's going to be different. They're going to have more. Well, Rick Nash is a power play, you know, god. So it's got to be better.
It can't be much worse. Can it?
You got that right, Mumford. I don't know why I just called you Mumford.
Mumford. the Amazing Mumford. A la peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah, so, well, I'm glad that this show put my worries to at bay. I think we're pretty much done here.
We're done? We're finished? This is it? I was just starting to have fun.
All right, okay.
I don't give a shit what we talk about. I'm just, it's nice to be on the air. It's not, some of the guys in the chat room were saying it feels like forever since we've been together.
What's going on? I mean, it's been an hour. I mean, how much do they need of us? But,
they need us. These people depend
on us. We need
them,
actually.
Cogliano.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, if we can get Rhonda Shearer in here, that would be great. Our guest, Frosty, suggested it. I think we should go for it.
Rhonda
now,
Shearer.
What's going on with this Shane Doan character? I mean, really, is he running for president? I mean, this is like waiting for, how long we got to wait for this?
This is like waiting for Mitt Romney to pick his VP candidate. He's played with the Phoenix organization for, 15 years, whatever, and he doesn't want to leave, and I get that. Nobody wants to. You know, you work somewhere for 15 years. You don't want to change jobs, change cities, change your drawers, change everything. So he's given them every opportunity to make good. Apparently, the guy that's trying to buy the Coyotes, Jameson, I think is his name, he's $20 million short.
J. Jonah Jameson?
That's the guy. Yeah, actually, that's him. Which I always think it's funny when you're talking about these huge numbers. You know, I mean, you're talking about, you know, whatever the selling price is for the Coyotes. I don't know, 140, 150, but I'm just speculating. I don't even know what the number is. And he's 20 million short. Doesn't that seem like, you know, when you're like, how much is this? Well, it's 150 bucks. Oh, I only got 130. Well, when you get, you know, I'm $20 short. I don't know. Don't you think you could scrape up the other $20? Get the other 20 million for you. Got 100. We're talking about $150 million or whatever it is, and you're 20 million short. When you get to those numbers, what's another 20 million? You know. So
exactly.
So I guess Doan he's trying to give Phoenix every opportunity to sign him because he doesn't want to leave if he doesn't have to. But at the same time, he's keeping his options open. And the prevailing theory is that this offer that got rumored 2 weeks ago by John Gambadoro, who I actually know personally, believe it or not, he hosts a morning show here on KTAR. I can't remember what the number is on the FM station, sports talk show that he does. He used to write for Newsday. He's a Long Island guy, and then he moved out here, I guess, about 15 years ago. But he was the one that first reported that Doan had a 4-year, $30 million offer on the table from an East Coast team. That's never been confirmed or denied, but the prevailing theory is that offer is from Philly. So, but we'll see. You know what? I would like to see the Rangers get Shane Doan because
No.
Thank you, Paulie. I think at this point he's a good last piece of the puzzle. But if they don't get him, I'm not going to be upset.
Yeah,
certainly don't want them to offer to give him 4 years, $30 million.
No.
Guy's 52 years old.
Well, speaking about Rangers contracts, I don't think we talked about this, or was it news last week when we had the show about Alexander Semin getting that 1-year deal for $7 million?
You mean the 1-year deal that you were speculating about at the beginning of the off season? Most people, myself included, said you're crazy. He'll never take a 1-year deal.
Yeah, you remember that? I was saying 1 or 2 years, wouldn't you take him? But I didn't think it would be $7 million, though, Jim.
Taken him? Would you have taken him 1 year at $7 million?
No. That shit. He's a head case. Tortorella would never take him anyway. I don't want any head cases. Oh no.
The problem with taking him at 1 year, $7 million is that if it doesn't work out, okay, no big deal. You part as friends at the end of the year. You go get your money someplace else. But if it does work out, let's say he scores 30 goals, 30 assists. He has a 60-point season, and the Rangers make it to the Cup, win or lose, right? Now you got a guy, you gave him a year. You gave him your $7 million. He put up 60, 70 points for you. You took a shot. It worked out. Now what are you going to pay him if you're going to renew the contract, you know? Now
exactly.
Now he's going to be looking for one of these 19-year, $400 trillion deals like Parisi just got.
Yeah, and then you know what happens if he sucks full and does nothing, and then he'll be back to $3 million. So it's a win-win for him, 3.5, whatever he's going to get. If he does produce, then it's, like you said, it's astronomical numbers. But
right.
He's not a really good fit for the Rangers. We don't need those type of players. I, you know what? I hate to say this about a coach, but I really think Tortorella has a thing about Russian players and has a thing about even if you're not North American, he really doesn't want to have too much to do with you unless you've played with him before. I really believe that. But, he's a guy who doesn't show up every night. We don't need that. I mean, he played on that on a team that had offense up the yin-yang, and he couldn't even fit there. How is he going to fit in a place where you're supposed to be defensively responsible?
Yeah.
$7 million, nah, I'll pass.
Okay. I would agree with you. But, I think it's a high risk, high reward, I guess, for the team, and no risk, high reward for the player.
Right. Yeah.
You ready for another call? We got another call on hold.
Yeah.
973-287, you're on the air.
It's Dan. How's it going, fellas?
Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm feeling pretty good. You know, all this.
Are you drunk?
No, I got to be a little quiet. The wife's sleeping. But talking Rangers never, ever bothered her at all. So the other thing I don't know if you touched on in the last show you guys did, but of course the Nashville Predators actually showed some balls and matched that humongous contract offer from the Flyers.
Yeah, actually, the last time we were on, we were talking about that. It hadn't been done yet. I think the next day is when Nashville actually matched the deal.
Yeah, exactly. That takes, and I'm being serious here, I mean, that takes a lot of balls from Nashville to actually, because many people, and I know some people who write for certain New York newspapers, they were flabbergasted that the Predators actually matched the offer.
Yeah,
I was kind of surprised, but I guess from a PR standpoint, if you want to have anybody in the seats next season, they had to keep them.
Yeah, exactly. They had to, because he was basically the face of the franchise. I mean, Sutter went back to Minnesota, so, you know, you had to do something.
Right, right.
Yeah, but, you know, let me say this. I know what Eddie's concerned about. You know, you're going to force Rick Nash to play that defensive style throughout the season. I think he can probably will score on the power play. And if he has to play defense, he'll play defense. I mean, I don't think he's going to block shots all the time, but I think you get Rick Nash to have at least a potent power play, a potent first line, and when Gabrick comes back from the surgery, this team's going to be unbelievable. I really, really believe that. I really think Torts knows what he's going to get out of Nash, and Nash will be like, you know, listen, Torts, whatever you want, I'll do it. So.
Well, I hope you're right, because I would hate to see them. Like I said, my worry is that we're going to be treated to the same, defense, and I don't know. I'm worried. I'm just worried again, and maybe, like you said, they got so much good personnel now that how could they be, you know, spending, you know, three-quarters of the game in their own zone?
Mm-hmm.
Inevitably,
exactly.
You have a lot of speed with this team. I mean, Kreider and Hagelin, Callahan's fast. You've
mm-hmm.
got some speedy guys. You've got a legitimate power forward. You've got Gabarek, who's, a sniper. So, you know, it very well could turn out to, you know, the way you say, and I hope it does. I'm just like, I think, like, I, you know, people in the chat room and me, I think I'm just worrying too much because it's just, I have nothing else to do right now, you know, because it's August.
Listen, Eddie, just go to YouTube, type in a couple of highlights from the Ranger season last year, and have some fun, okay?
I will do that, Dr. Firestein.
Great. And then when I see you at the next Blue Shirt Underground watch party, I'll send you the bill.
There you go.
All right, gentlemen. You have a good night, and I will talk to you at the next show.
All right, take care, Dan.
Okay.
You
take
too.
Care,
take care, Jim and Eddie. Bye.
Bye. All right. Now, all right, we got 18 minutes left on the scheduled show. 646-478.
Good night, everybody.
646-478-4692 is the number if you guys want to call in. Next week, I guess, you are leaving.
Ow.
Thank you, Paulie. You are leaving Friday on your cruise, the Love Boat.
Love. The Love Boat, yes. I believe it.
Exciting and new. Come aboard.
Yeah, me. I'll be drinking with Isaac and flirting with Julie.
We're expecting you.
And I'll be sick with Doc. And I'll be at the captain's table with Captain Cloud, alias Captain Stubing.
Why did Doc Bricker automatically assume that every hot woman that come on that boat was there for him? Isn't that
I don't know.
Every time there was a hot woman that come on board, he thought, oh, that's going to be mine. What made him think he was so terrific? Bernie Capel. Is that what we're talking about now?
Exactly. The 70s were a wacky time. I'll be in Puerto Rico. I'll be in Grand Turk.
Wow.
Seven-day voyage of Fun Sun and Acapulco. I don't know where it's going to be. I know I'm going to be in Puerto Rico or something. I don't know. But I'll be gone from the 10th till the 18th. So maybe we'll do a show next week. And Wednesday on the 8th, and then we'll come back maybe around the 21st, 22nd.
So maybe we'll do a show Thursday night?
Yeah, that sounds
right.
Good.
If nothing has happened between now and Thursday night, I don't know if I mean, we're not going to waste you guys' time.
I like getting together for...
I mean, yeah, it might be off topic if we do something Thursday, which is fine by me, but...
I mean, the Ranger news cycle really isn't moving that fast right now.
Yeah.
So maybe you can do maybe a half hour on your disappointment that Casey Wildman did not get his chance with the organization.
Oh, yeah. For real. Do a half hour on The Dark Knight Rises.
We'll talk about Zsa Zsa Gaborik.
There you go.
So, that's what we could do, my friend.
All right, so we'll come back Thursday, and then sometime, I guess around the 24th, maybe the 22nd or 23rd or something, we'll see what's going on, and we will be with you guys. And maybe next Friday. If we don't do a show Thursday, I guess we'll do a show either way Thursday, then maybe I'll do something Friday, I don't know, just nothing hockey-related. I'm hockeyed out, but we get to the end of the
year. You know, it took till August to be hockeyed out. I'm not high. I just can't wait for football and hockey to start. That's when I love life even more than I love it right now. The weather, the whole thing, it's a beautiful thing. So that's the end of this show, Jim, at least my part.
I think we're done.
But I did want to end it kind of the way we started it with the great Chandler from last week.
Glenn Saint is a fucking pimp.
Amen. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Eddie, a pleasure. And,
yes, I will be seeing the guys down at Spumoni Gardens tomorrow. We're having a little bit of get together, blue shirt fans getting together. Not an underground thing, but just a commiseration of Ranger fans. So, take care, Jimmy. I'll
you too,
see
my
you
friend.
At the movies.
Talk to you later.